Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It was a lot about all getting on the same page, you know, seeing the game the same way, being really emphasizing, you know, communication, so there's no gray area, so you can't say, I did call this, I didn't call that. You know, you're going to use hand signals, you're going to be verbal, and it's going to be clear if you did or did not, and there's not going to be any back and forth of what you did or didn't say. It's going to be clear. It's going to be concise. We're all going to be on the same page, and we're going to play fast football.
What tells you so far during the week that you guys have fixed some of those issues?
There's not a lot of people running open. We haven't had to run back a whole lot of plays, maybe only one from Wednesday. And, you know, and we've been doing a lot of extra work on the side while the offense is on the field, working on those communications, working on those adjustments.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. It's a Friday before Steelers and Bengals. Don't have to wait until Sunday night. It's tomorrow night, Monday Night Football broadcast with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. We'll get to Minka Fitzpatrick comments and some thoughts on Mike Tomlin in a second. Malzahn has said if the game is a Monday Night Football presentation, then it is a Monday Night Football game. And the Steelers haven't lost a Monday Night Football game since the early 90s. So does their string of good luck and good fortune in Monday Night games then extend to this one? Because they will...
Wait, I did say it's a Monday Night Football game?
You said as long as they put the Monday Night Football branding on it, it is Monday Night Football for your money, even if the game is not played on an actual Monday night.
Sure.
So do you want to stick with that then?
I don't think I ever said it, but I might be hallucinating here. You have a better memory than I do. No, I don't want to stick with that, though. I want to renege on that because that would suggest that the Steelers' history on Monday Night Football or Monday Night Football branded games would become very relevant here.
Yes.
They would be able to beat whoever they would play.
Something's going to happen with Minka and Queen/Elliott. When this season is done, if it keeps going down this road. And Kabali's going to be in here next hour, but it's becoming, I think, very clear, especially after rather honest and transparent comments from Minka, that those guys were doing it one way, and it wasn't a way that Minka was either used to or comfortable with, and he feels like it was detrimental to not only his play, but the entire defense's play. And he's not, to me, a guy that is just going to, like, run the play and just, okay, if this is how you guys want to do it, I'm cool with it. And you can tell from the comments he made, like, he will take some of their behind-closed-door conversation and air it out if it benefits him. If it brings to light why his play has been suspect at times this year. And it's interesting because both of those guys are newcomers, and he's the dude that was the all-pro here before they showed up.
And he's the dude that sits in on the defensive coach meetings and is the
big acumen guy. In that respect, he gets the benefit of the doubt with me. if this is a pick a side or pick who you agree with, Patrick Queen, Deshaun Elliott, or Minka, I'm going to go with Minka every time.
Elliott's been mostly good, but yes, if he's aligned against Minka for a, you know, is this getting interpreted or called or handled correctly, I am going to side with Minka. Queen, I am giving no such.
Well, you've never been a Queen guy.
I mean,
you're not a big spend a lot of money on inside linebackers.
You know what I just realized happened with him? Now, granted, this is later in the season. Remember how I gave James Conner the Pittsburgh kiss of death by finally getting on board the bandwagon after the Ravens game he played?
Dom, do you remember that? Oh, wait, you weren't working here yet. Were you listening and remembering things like that at the time?
2018, sorry, Dom.
You're going to have to repeat. I was texting Brian McFadden, so please.
Oh, you're doing something for the show. That's good. You weren't texting.
How
old
were you in 2018?
So if I'm 21 now, I was 15.
The world is your oyster.
Were you into sports talk radio back then?
Yeah, because that's just when you guys started, right?
That is the first year we were on the show together. Did you remember
facial hair back then as an Italian boy?
A little bit. Nothing crazy, but yeah, a little bit.
Did you remember, or do you remember me being a James Conner skeptic and then finally being won over by a bruising 100-yard-plus game he had in a win over the Ravens?
I'm sure if I thought about it deeply enough, I could.
Now, do you remember what happened after I finally gave him my Malzi Steel of approval?
Isn't that when he started really sucking?
Yes, that is a.
So you think you've done that to Queen?
Well, I said I thought he had been pretty good early in the season, but then I felt like the Ravens game was his
coming
major statement game. Like, holy crap, this guy made all these big plays. He was so gassed up for it, and then he backed it up. And he has been pretty bad ever since.
Yeah.
I mean, just, and he because he's wearing the green dot, and he because he's the big, high-priced newcomer to the defense, like, every time you watch them, when he looks bad on a play, it's impossible for him to hide.
So, let me transition and ask you guys a question. If the Steelers win the game tomorrow night, what is your regular season grade for Mike Tomlin? How would you grade his coaching job? If they get to 11-6, they've lost the division, but they win 11 games, which is an improvement from last year, and they've bettered their playoff seed. They don't backdoor their way in.
And they're
they're
five
firmly
seed.
In.
And they're in a favorable first-round matchup.
If the NFL didn't seed teams based on who wins the divisions, they'd actually
be the
They'd actually host a playoff game.
The four seed.
Which is obviously a much bigger deal with what's happening with the Vikings and Lions than it is
for them.
For us, but still. They would technically be one of the four best teams.
You'd take an indoor Texans team and make them go play outdoors.
Yep. But you wouldn't even be playing the Texans, probably.
You'd be playing
probably the Chargers because they would be seeded ahead of
Houston.
Correct.
Houston would be the seventh seed.
Whew.
That's
grade
a hell
do
of
you
a
give
question.
Tomlin if they win this game? Dom, you seem like you're ready to answer this while Mulsey is vacillating.
I'd give him an A. For the whole season, I'd give him an A. I'll tell you why. So if you look at their losses this season, they lost to the Colts because of a botched snap. They lost to Dallas
That's an interesting interpretation of that game.
Like when teams come out and get their doors blown off early and lose because of a botched snap, like, all of those things are related to coaching and, like...
Were the Steelers not driving at the end of the game and about to maybe at least tie it? Sure.
I wouldn't say they were driving. They weren't in Colts territory.
They had the football again.
Botched snap cost them the game. They lost to Dallas on a goal line stand, lost to Cleveland in a blizzard, and their last three games were to three of the top five quarterbacks
in
football.
Yes, but they were non-competitive in those three games and got outscored by an aggregate score of 50. 90-40 in those games.
Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC?
No, the Lions are.
Are the Eagles the second best team in the NFC?
Probably.
Yes. Are the Chiefs a top two team in the AFC?
Yes.
They're actually the best team by record.
Are the Ravens a top three team in the AFC?
Yes.
Were they favored in any of those three games?
No.
No. So, you're going to criticize them for that heavily? You can criticize them for losing and for losing three straight. Then they played
they were
the
favored
Chiefs
against,
on a Wednesday.
They were favored against the Browns and Colts, and you're not giving them any... You're not deducting any points or taking anything away from them for losing those games if you're going to play the point spread game.
Because it was a blizzard.
And they got the Cowboys without Parsons.
Yes, and they were still favored in the blizzard.
Well, then they shouldn't have been. You can't hold. You gave them a pass the next day.
Yes, and I will factor that into the grade I give Mike Tomlin right now.
An A.
An A. Chris?
I'm at B minus, which I want to point out, you put a minus in anything that's not an A. Oh, that's not a very good grade. It is a C is an average performance.
Mrs. Mueller would not accept the B minus from you here. He's making almost $20 million a year. He can't take home a B minus and be proud of that. What are you smoking now over there? You're trying to sell us on the idea that a B minus is a good grade?
Not that good. He was coaching at an A level, and then I think he's coached at a D to an F level for the last three games.
So he should be brought down to a C then, by that logic, you'd think.
I was between B minus, C plus, because he's still going to, if he wins tomorrow, going to win 11 games in a season where they're over under, since we've been using so much Vegas in our arguments today.
I haven't really used it at all. It's been all Dom who all of a sudden has this degenerate gene that he's showcasing on today's show.
What are you talking? I'm not talking about betting. I just said they weren't favorites. They were underdogs.
That's inherently based on Vegas lines.
No, I didn't. I based it on their schedule.
He took two quarterbacks who were on two different teams' discard piles, and he's going to win at least 10 games and possibly 11 games at the most important position on the field. Now, it gets weighty when you just look at what happened these last 3 weeks and when you, again, try to take long-range stock of where does this leave them, but that's not the question you're asking me.
Yeah.
You're asking me to grade him for this year, and even though I am frustrated because I think that they are still without some long-term answers to some very big questions, in a vacuum, he's done a better-than-average job with this team.
So, I just want to go back to one of the comments you said there about the quarterbacks. So he gets credit because of where he found Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, which is true.
Specifically but that he's gotten at least 10 wins and possibly 11 out of those two, that they weren't wanted by their prior
employers. For the purpose
of
this discussion, he does get the 11th win. They beat Cincinnati tomorrow night. So he gets to 11 wins with those guys. But it ignores the fact that he was put in that situation because he gave up on his first-round
Well, it sounded like the first-round quarterback wanted to be traded, is my understanding.
Okay, but they didn't have to accommodate that. They could have said, tough luck.
Do you think their quarterback room's better now without him and with these two guys?
I do, but it's his fault and their fault that they were put in that position to begin with, Kenny.
No, but you're asking me like two different questions. Existentially, do I think Mike Tomlin, like in the long run, like has the stomach to maybe do what they need to do and the ego check to do what they need to do, which is probably suck for a year to have access to a really talented quarterback and then surround him with like a high-end coordinator and some different ideas? No. But you're asking me to grade this season, and I cannot in good conscience, if they're going 11-6, grade them as anything worse than like a grade him any worse than a B minus. Because it certainly would have outdone my expectations. I can't give him an A because too many of the like extremely annoying things that bother me about his game-to-game coaching still cropped up on a too regular basis, but I certainly can't go any lower than what I said.
I think it's a B season. I think if you win the division...
Look at this okey-doke he did. A B-minus, and then I should have known, Dom, he was going to come in with a higher and better grade. He invoked the name of my mother, who's a teacher, say blah, 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 blah.
It's just sad because in Dom's mind, in Dom's eyes, Tomlin can do no wrong, and if they had gone 7-10, he would have found a way to give him an A and just blame everybody else for it. The quarterbacks, the GM, etc. Yeah,
what would Tomlin, his record be this year if he had somehow gotten Caleb Williams on the Steelers? They might have gone 18-0 in a 17-game season.
Easily.
How are you on the Caleb Williams is one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL while he was still at USC? How's that all working for
he's
you?
He's shown flashes this year that he's top five. They just have a terrible roster around him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
A seasons for the Steelers are A regular seasons. Grade A regular seasons for Tomlin are when they win the division. Or, like, if they had a situation like Minnesota where they won a bunch of games and somehow were just in a loaded division and lost out by a game or a tiebreaker.
I would go a step further. Any more in the 17-game schedule era, I think 13 wins is your, like, bare minimum cutoff now for them. 12-5, you're getting into that B plus A minus. You want to give me just a regular old A, it's got to be 13-4, I think, or better.
But the reason why I bring this up is because to hear people talk right now, you would think Tomlin's doing a D or an F job.
Well, prisoner of the moment, I think he is for a lot of people.
And all I'm saying is if he merely wins this game tomorrow, I bring him up to a B.
Don't you think a lot of the people are saying he's doing a D or an F job because they rightly associate him as the biggest figure behind the scenes running the defense, and the defense has just been wet paper mache, you know, like wet toilet paper.
Yeah, every Steelers fan who feels that way about the way their defense is played, by the way, and his hands in it is correct.
Yeah, I'm just saying, so like Kevin O'Connell is going to win Coach of the Year because Sam Darnold is going to lead a team to at least 14 wins.
Yeah.
I feel like since everyone knows Kevin O'Connell calls the plays on offense there, that if they were a 6-10 team right now, it'd be like Kevin O'Connell did a horrible job in the Sam Darnold year. He's not doing his job. Why aren't they better on offense? Specifically, if they were 6-10 and losing games because of their offense.
But if the Steelers' offense had taken off this year and they were playing like Minnesota's, even though I don't think Mike Tomlin, it was his sole decision to bring Arthur Smith in, I would give him a lot of credit for making it work. I would say, yeah, he's a defensive head coach, but this offensive coordinator has revolutionized their offense and taken it to great heights, and Tomlin deserves credit for that. The same, I know it was on the defensive side of the ball, but the same way I gave him credit for the Brian Flores hire, even though he butchered it by not giving him control of the defense and then letting him walk.
Subsequently then, yes, give him no credit for all the things you just said.
I mean, I think bringing in Munchak was a stroke of brilliance. That was a great move by him and the Steelers. Again, I guess they didn't let him go because he wanted to spend time with his family and move out to Colorado, but they never replaced him appropriately.
I mean, everyone is to some degree a prisoner of the moment. It's hard to ask people.
Dom's not. He gave him a friggin' A for crying out loud.
In some ways, that's the boldest take of all here, but I just think it's pretty normal for people, and I certainly put myself in this bucket. I'm not special or extra smart. Man, when I watch this team's defense suck and I watch them lose non-competitively, even if it's to really good teams, I look at those couple of factors and I look at the head coach and I hear guys like Minka talking about lack of communication and people with their palms to the sky, and they say, that is on you. I don't care how good the first 12 or 13 games looked. That's on you.
So I said that if they lose, I don't think the season's over because they can beat Houston or Baltimore. But I do agree with the idea that for like Tomlin's perception, it's very important that they win this game, because right now his defense is circling the drain and he's not only getting bad results from his offense, but it seems like he's losing his grip and control over it. Pickens is acting like a nincompoop again. You've got that whole
not happy with you
melodrama.
Yesterday.
Yeah, Michael Brewerly called me a whiny B word or something like that.
And on your birthday, no less. And Donnie and I did not give you a happy birthday wish yesterday. Shameful behavior.
That's
by
okay.
Me.
I'm fine with
but
that.
But I know you're not like a big birthday guy. Are you?
Birthday?
Like you're always somebody. I think you subscribe to the old Greg Giannotti theory that we shouldn't take off on our birthdays. It's only a holiday for you.
I love,
or for like the person itself.
True, but I look at work as like frivolity and fun. Like it's to me. Taking a day off, I would only do it because I'd want to spend time with Amanda and Stella.
Now, do you feel like solo shows are frivolity and fun, or is that a little bit more like work?
What do you mean?
Like, if you're doing a solo show, is it still...
No, it's all fun.
It's all fun?
If I had a crappy-ass job like I did when I was in high school and college, I would take my birthday off. 100%. Hell yeah.
Do you believe that taking your birthday off is something that, like, since it's only really a holiday to you, that you shouldn't do?
Yeah, I agree with that. I also didn't
Syracuse work ethic.
I also didn't know it was your birthday yesterday, so now I feel bad. I feel like a jerk.
When I was working at Zogby International, which was a polling place where you had to call people and ask them questions like who they were going to vote for and things like that.
I bet you did such a good job.
And I got fired because...
What was it called again?
Zogby International. I was pretending to make phone calls, and instead I was listening to a Syracuse Virginia Tech football game on a hand, you know, portable radio.
Zogby Analytics, there they are. That's like you're pulling like a Costanza when he's selling laptop computers and the other guy doesn't even have the phone plugged in, Lloyd Braun.
And so I got fired because I was doing like phony calls.
Phony baloney work, yeah.
And then I got called in and they said, we're on to you. You're no longer welcome here. Clean out your
cubicle. What did you say? Was it like a relief that they had caught you at that point?
Yeah. I didn't really care. I only worked because my parents were pushing it.
When I was working in Philly doing ad sales for a station,
I would have taken a day off
your
from
birthday.
That place
yeah,
when on I, my birthday.
When I was working in Philly, I think I took off on my birthday weekend, but I knew I wasn't going to last there. And when I went in and said I'd like to put in my 2 weeks' notice, one of the biggest dunks anyone's ever done on me, the boss just goes, "Yeah, you can leave today." Like such a useless employee to them. Tried to put in a formal 2 weeks and just got told, eh, you're good.
What grade would you give Mike Tomlin on the season?
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
One thing that's been a struggle for me today with this show is that I just have songs stuck in my head. My wife is on a kick. Does your wife get like this where she just listens to one artist or one band nonstop?
She's like that with the Wicked movie right now, now that that's out on streaming, and she's just singing Defying Gravity and whatever. Popular! Like whatever that song is from that.
So my wife's into Shad Khan right now.
Isn't he the Jags owner? He is the Jags owner, Shad Khan.
Well, there's a Khan out there.
Chaka Khan?
No, not her.
Shad Khan?
Obviously not Omar. Who the hell Khan?
Lena Khan? She's the FTC chair, but she's outgoing.
I'm going to put Khan music in.
Nick Khan.
Nick Khan? No, Nick Khan, you're right. It is Nick Khan.
No, I don't think
it's
that
Or is it Noah
either.
Khan?
It's Noah.
Noah.
It's Noah
It looks
Khan.
Like Kahan rhymes with Mayhan, but it's Khan.
Yeah, Noah Khan. It is just, it's
Isn't that how
ubiquitous.
You say it, Dom? You're laughing. Isn't that how you say his last name?
No, yeah, you got it. I'm just laughing because I was
It never
wrong.
Stops.
What was I?
He's doing duets with Post Malone. He's singing about breaking up with his girlfriend in New England and being depressed as balls about it. I mean,
Yeah, that's a little much. You know what? I was humming all
He's
morning?
Talking about fingers decomposing. He loves somebody
what?
So much. Yeah, he really gets deep on it, man.
I had Billy Joel just stuck badly in my brain all
How
morning.
About when... See, that's not bad. How about when Austin's take was, I'm in my 20s and I like Billy Joel. I know that makes me an outsider and really makes me in the minority.
A
with
real
my
rebel without a cause.
Well, that just shows you that Bechtold can be out of touch with different things.
Yeah.
He picks an artist who is among the top most recognizable and known musical artists among all ages.
Yeah, he does have a penchant for doing that. He's like, I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say,
guys, I have weird food takes, all right? Pizza, it's pretty good.
I'm going to just bowl you over with this one. I don't think Mike Tomlin's doing a good job right now. You can call in and disagree with me if you want. You're entitled to your opinion. And I know I'm going out on a limb.
Pittsburgh, I'm about to support a guy that really never gets talked about enough in NFL circles.
I want
for
you
how
to
good
sit down for this one.
Ready?
The Pirates need to start spending money. 412-928-9370.
I think this Patrick Mahomes guy's headed to the Hall of Fame. Your thoughts?
Oh, man.
That is the equivalent of saying, I'm in my 20s. This Billy Joel, he's rad. He's out of sight.
Here is Mike in the Strip District. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're having a good
What's
day,
up, Mike?
Oh, not much. I was 21, brain fog from 3-day benders defending Mike Tomlin too, like Dom is, but yeah, he got a B for the year, man. He's a B coach. That's what he is.
That's a great, you know what, Mike? That's perfect. That to me is the perfect distillation of him as a coach right now in today's NFL. He is a B coach. He's not in the Andy Reid category. He's not up there with Sean McVay. He's not one of those guys. He's just good enough to keep his job every year. And he's just bad enough to never win anything big anymore.
That's right. I went to this Steelers game against the Chiefs, and I told my buddy who I went with, that was a master class versus a B coach.
Well, what you call it, Mulsey, it was chess against Connect Four.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and it's something where Tomlin has had a blind spot, and it really extends to LeBeau. These quick-hitting offenses, the Patriots tortured them with that. The Steelers against teams who get the ball out in under 2.5 seconds, which is fast. Those quarterbacks against the Steelers, Mike, they just torch them. And you know what? The reason, I've had many people talk to me about Tomlin, buddies of
mine.
Thank
you, Mike.
And the thing about him that I think drives some people crazy, or the thing about the discourse is, I would say he's an above-average coach more often than not. A good coach sometimes, a bad coach sometimes. But, in balance, he's one of the above-average top 16 guys in the league. The problem is, the league generally cycles through those guys. They churn, and only the handful of best guys usually stay on the job for a long time. But we're in a place now where even though the results have been fine during the regular season, playoff quality, but not playoff quality in terms of getting wins, the problem is that the owner of the football team treats him like he is this, top three coach in the league. He's not. And the other problem is some of the national media who set the agenda on this will say it's Reed and then it's Tomlin. Based on what?
He gives him the gravitas and the leeway and the rope that he gave Knoll. But after Knoll won four Super Bowls, and I know it hasn't bottomed out like that. There are no 5-11 seasons. There are no, you know, complete.
But sometimes bottoming out is a good thing. Like, because it affords you the shot at the big talent. Right as we're saying all this, Ryan Scarpino tweets this out. Active head coach.
Now tell people who Ryan Scarpino is.
He used to work for the Steelers in PR, so he was on the inside. The call is coming from inside the house, although not anymore because he doesn't work for them.
Who does he work for now?
Like a water company, I think.
Wow.
He's in like PR.
Congratulations on all his success.
Active head coach.
Water's not going anywhere. In fact, if you saw that movie, The Big Short, the guy at the end of that movie is like, I'm investing in water.
Yeah. Oh, there's some dystopian novels you can read about water, my friend. Anyway, Ryan, just to my point of like, the guy is pretty much an average to above average coach who gets treated by this franchise like he is an untouchable deity.
Mm-hmm.
The owner specifically.
Yep.
Head coach win percentage. Active head coaches. Shanahan, 667. McVay, 636. Minimum 10 games. Andy Reid, 62% he wins. Harbaugh, John, 54%. Sean Payton, 53%. McCarthy's a 500 playoff coach. McDermott, 455 winning percentage. And then you get to Mike.
That's the only season he's a loser in. He's got a losing record in the playoffs, which is ironic.
I'm just saying, like, that is not world beater Chuck Knoll stuff right there.
Here is Ian in Johnstown. Hello, Ian.
Hey, how we doing?
Hey, man.
So I'm pretty confident that we're going to be on the road in the playoffs, assuming Bailey Zappe does the unthinkable.
Yeah.
So I think that we have to win also so we don't go into the playoffs on a 5-game losing streak.
Well, it'll be a 4-game losing streak, but I get your point. So you don't think
you'd be putting that playoff loss cart before the horse.
So
there.
You're with Chris. You don't think they'd stand a chance in Baltimore?
No, they would stand a chance, but out of our options to play in the playoffs, I think that'd be the least chance to happen.
I mean, I just think it should be self-evident you want to see the Texans because, yeah, the Ravens are a tough out. Everybody else is a tough out. Put those off as long as possible.
I think that that's right, but the thing that I just reject is the idea that they have to win tomorrow night because they go to Baltimore and it's an automatic loss. I don't look at Baltimore as this team because of the way the Steelers match up with them that are so much better than them that it has to be a losing proposition.
I don't know, man. It feels like the Ravens are peaking right this second, though. Like, they had their bye week a couple weeks after they lost to the Steelers.
Does it? They lost to Philadelphia just like we did.
That was before their bye week, Pony. And that is the one of the two
The magic bye week. The MVP of the Ravens is not Lamar Jackson. It's the bye week, evidently.
Well, in the 3 weeks since, they've been well over 400 yards of offense in every game. Haven't had a game closer than 17 points.
3:30, time to call the Buell Insurance Agency. Get those premiums, 724-443-5610. A few minutes away from Brian McFadden joining us. Get back to some of your calls here, too. Talking Mike Tomlin, what grade would you give him this year? Talking about the Steelers and Bengals, this is a must-win. If they lose, will you feel like they're cooked, that they can't go to Baltimore and win? 412-928-9370. Got distracted during the break. Harry Callis, I think already an early favorite to be 2025's
Man
Pittsburgh
of the year.
Sportsman of the Year for two things. He sent out a tweet trying to stir the pot, or Bechtold sent out a tweet trying to stir the pot between intern Dom and Callis, and Callis's response was "Shut up, Austin."
Just Mutombo'd him. Basically.
An early dub, and then sent out a picture of a gorgeous woman that he was out with on New Year's Eve. And I texted Crowley about it, and I said, who is this absolute smoke show?
She's a beautiful woman.
That Callis is hanging out with. His response, that's his new girlfriend.
Crowley's pulling your leg.
No, man.
Like.
They met online. Yes.
There's no way.
Yes, dude.
There's no way.
I mean, if that is...
That's one of the great outkick your coverage moments in human history, if true. And I know Adam has always been a very straight shooter with me on stuff like this.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? I'll show you the.
I believe that
text right now.
You that text.
That's
I
his
don't
new GF he met online.
I think he's trying to gin up more content here.
I'm pretty sure she's a singer.
I think
like
she's
a musical.
Like somewhat famous. Yes, well, like locally famous.
I mean, he's locally famous too. He's got three vehicles.
My favorite part, and one of them he says is like an investment property, which I find funny. My favorite part of it is Callis has the universal happy drunk guy face on in that picture. He's got like the hey, how you, and like his eyes are like half slits.
The whole vibe is fun. Riz is out of control. So
that's what some people are responding. We get a nice work Callis, beautiful couple. Damn, says Bob. So much Riz.
Yep. It's off the charts.
You're playing out of your league, my guy. Congrats and work your ass off to keep her smile on your arm.
She looks like she is. She looks very excited to be in Callis's presence.
You know how they, have you ever seen how they do in like a picture? Does like the woman look like she's leaning away from the guy? Like they get like the lines in there. Who's leaning what way?
Yep.
She's leaning towards big hairy Callis.
I mean, look, I'm not superficial enough where it's all about looks. Maybe it was for me when I was in Dom's years. So, you know, you want the complete
package.
You
weren't superficial. You were sending out those, like, cattle call Facebook wall posts at Syracuse.
All I'm going to say is, so you don't base every relationship on how somebody looks. You shouldn't.
Okay.
But my God, did he absolutely hit a home run here.
I hope he's continuing, I think he is, to lose more and more weight with Awaken 180. He's got to be 45, 50 pounds now. People who knew him or knew of him in high school said like a 5'8", like 230, 240 pound ball of muscle just playing fullback.
Well, remember we had his Taekwondo or Judo?
Taekwondo, I think. And they said he's surprisingly nimble and athletic.
We had his Taekwondo instructor on the air who said Harry had the talent to be a great elite martial artist.
He's only, what, 25, 26 right now?
I think he's a little bit older than 28. That. He's closer to Donnie's age. Donnie's 29.
Okay.
So maybe 27?
Man, Harry, keep turning it around. You got plenty of time. Your life's just beginning at 27. You're not Jim Morrison or Jimi Hendrix or one of those guys.
He's off to an electric start in 2025.
So you think around here he just kind of puts off himself as the jolly big guy and then he walks around like Robert De Niro when he leaves Green Tree?
I think he has one of those things that you can't teach. What?
I disagree with Don on that, but
I just think Harry Callis is a jovial guy who likes being around people, and I think that's infectious.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And he's confident in talking to anyone.
I don't think that he has a different personality when he leaves here. I think that personality is what draws these beautiful women in, to be honest with you. Because
isn't the old famous phrase, that wasn't there like a pretty long-term married couple in Hollywood where the wife was like considered a beautiful starlet and the husband was not considered to be in her league looks-wise?
There's a few of those.
But it's somebody famous who said, he makes me laugh.
I was just going to say that.
That's the old bit. He makes me laugh.
Funny guy pulls hot chicks. Look at Pete Davidson.
I don't think that's really...
Judging
by the rumors, I don't think that's why Pete Davidson is cavorting around with some of these
ladies.
I'm going
to type in Pete Davidson rumor.
It's like Kevin James in King of Queens.
This says rehab rumors.
No.
Pete Davidson addresses the Big D rumors. Is that?
Yes. I mean, I think that's generally why that was the going explanation for why he was being spotted with Kim Kardashian. Okay. Although that one might have been Mama Kardashian wanted it to be so.
What?
You don't think she stage manages her daughter's lives, even though they're all in like their 40s?
You're probably right. You're probably right.
What about isn't the one Kardashian dating the drummer from Blink 182, Travis Barker, or married to him? The guy with like covered in tats?
What happened to the one that was dating Lamar Odom? Who's she with now?
I don't know, man. I don't really know.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. We're joined right now by Steelers Super Bowl champion from CBS Sports, our good friend Bryant McFadden. Bryant, happy new year, buddy.
Happy new year. How's everyone doing?
Debate about our producer here who's a bigger fella who's just dating now an absolute 10 out of 10 dime. And our take here is that funny guys pull hot chicks. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. You got to have a personality, right? You got to have a personality that's forthcoming and that's likable. And sometimes personality oversees what you actually look like. And a lot of women gravitate to a real good personality.
B-Mac, let me tell you what this guy's all about. You know, I'm not trying to like butter you up here, but you were a professional athlete. You played in the NFL. some people might get nervous if they were introduced to you because, oh my God, he's famous. He played for the Steelers. He won a Super Bowl. That guy stared down Peyton Manning, etc. If we told this guy, we call him Harry. His name is Nick, so it's kind of both. If we told him, hey, Harry, there's Bryant McFadden. He won a Super Bowl with the Steelers. He would walk right up to you and say, hey, I'm Nick. How are you? Not a second's thought. Not like, oh my God, that guy's famous. He would just strike up a conversation with you because that's how he's wired.
B-Mac, how did you meet your wife? What's the story there?
Well, my wife kind of tracked me down. You know what I mean?
Well, that's got to be, that's a flex.
Congratulations on all your success, B-Mac.
That's a good feeling. That's flexing.
She kind of tracked me down. Not saying I didn't notice her, but she really tried to make her move on me. And of course, man, I got a soft spot for a pretty face and a nice butt. So she got me.
What grade would Bryant McFadden give Mike Tomlin on the season right now?
I'll give him a B.
Okay.
I give him a B plus, and the reason why, not considering what we've been watching in the last few weeks, I got to go back to initial predictions for the Pittsburgh Steelers before the season started. And everyone said Pittsburgh would miss the playoffs. Everyone said Mike Tomlin would have his first losing season. And the last time I checked, neither has happened. They're in the playoffs. Once again, another successful winning season. So I'll give him a B-plus because he's exceeded the expectations.
Not your expectations, though. You still have this team, going to and winning or going to the Super Bowl and losing?
I had them going to New Orleans. I didn't give a prediction on winning, but I did say reaching the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. We can definitely pull that clip
from
months ago.
You're right.
And I'm still alive, right?
Yes,
I'm still alive right now, last time I checked.
I don't love what they're doing defensively for your prediction purposes. How has it, in your mind, gone so wrong for them these last three games? I know it's good opponents, but they've looked out of sorts on that side of the ball, man.
It's all about communication.
Yeah.
You know, the great Dick LeBeau, who coached me when I was there, he used to always tell us as players, especially in the secondary, I don't care if you guys are playing the wrong coverage from what I called on the sideline, but if everyone is on the same page, I can deal with that because I know there won't be any holes. It seems like with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm talking more so about secondary play, it seems like communication hasn't been there. And if you don't communicate, everyone will not be on the same page. And those holes, they're bigger when you're playing against high-level quarterbacks. Like, you might be able to get through playing against a DTR from Cleveland or, you know, other quarterbacks. But when you're playing against the Jalen Hurtses of the world, Lamar Jacksons, and the Pat Mahomes, they're going to overly emphasize your mishaps. And that's what we're seeing. Now, the one caveat to that, all you got to do is talk and you won't have those holes. So the issues that we have been complaining about as fans can easily be rectified if you just exercise transparency.
Interesting. Let me ask you this question, B-Mac. Do the Steelers need to win tomorrow night in order to win a playoff game? Meaning, do they need to play Houston in the first round, or do you think they could actually go to Baltimore and win?
Right now, I'll say give me Houston. Give me Houston because we haven't looked good. But guess what? The Houston Texans haven't looked good either.
Right.
And the issue for Houston that we can exploit is their offensive line has been atrocious. And that's why we're not seeing the C.J. Stroud we thought we would see. So in terms of just the matchup, yeah, give me Houston right now. But if you were to ask me this question a month ago, I probably would say the opposite. But I'm just talking about the here and now. Give me the Houston Texans. I can care less about traveling. Of course, you want a home playoff game, but give me going to Houston because they can't protect their quarterback. Right? The defense, they had some issues in the secondary. Now, they do a great job in putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks, but you have to like our chances if we were to face off against the Houston Texans based on how bad they've been against opposing teams.
B-Mac, one of the things that we got into a very contentious bit about earlier in the show was just this idea where I said to Andrew, and he did not like this, I just feel like Lamar, now that he's played a very good game against the Steelers statistically, I would not want to see him in the playoffs. And Pony said, well, he's only played one good playoff game in his career. The rest have been kind of duds. Where do you come down on him specifically in the postseason as an opponent, Lamar Jackson?
Man, Lamar Jackson is really, really good.
Do you think this is the year the narrative changes in the playoffs for him? Like he's gonna have big games and they're going to be an extremely tough out if anyone beats him?
Yeah, I think so. Now, let's do this, though. Let's go back to a year ago. Right, what we saw in the AFC Championship game, it wasn't solely a Lamar Jackson problem. It was more about the scheme, right? They did not rely on the running game. And it's something about Baltimore and some organizations. It seems like when they get into the more critical moments of the season, which is the postseason,
yep,
they detour away from what got them there.
I agree.
Remember, yes. So last year they rode the running game all the way into the playoffs by having a top seed. And then in the playoffs, you got away from the running game. That didn't make any sense. So that's not a Lamar Jackson problem. That's more about coaching. That's in my opinion. So now I think they've been criticized so much, and also having a more of a recognizable name in the backfield in Derrick Henry, I think they've learned from their problems. And think about this, guys. Remember the first meeting against Pittsburgh, right? I know Derrick Henry fumbled the first offensive possessions, but remember, he didn't have 20 carries, right? They kind of took the ball out of his game, out of his hands, which didn't make sense because it was a close game for four quarters. But what did he do the second meeting against Pittsburgh? They got Derrick Henry going. Right. And of course, we saw how that worked out. So to your question, I think this is that year where Lamar Jackson exercised the demons in the postseason, because they will rely more so on the running game instead of making Lamar Jackson do something that hasn't been overly successful. But then I recant that statement, because he's been great throwing the football from the pocket as well.
Somebody made a case, right? I think it was like Peter Schrager, that he had, if you go through all of his, I think he's thrown four picks this year, you can make a reasonable case that he should have zero or one at the most, which is wild.
Yes. Three interceptions by Lamar Jackson actually touched the hands of wide receivers. Well, and so they basically were drop passes or tip passes.
Well, Peyton Wilson had the one where he just took it away from Justice Hill, which is an insane play.
Exactly. Now, outside of that, the one he threw with to Mika, where the wide receiver stopped, that was on Lamar. But every other interception, it should have been a catch. So he's been great from the pocket, but I think they're clicking at the right time. And if they just stay the course and just play their game, they should be fine, because they have a superstar quarterback.
Who will be the Steelers player of the game on offense? Who will be the Steelers player of the game on defense tomorrow night, BMAC?
Well, we're playing against Cincinnati.
Yes, we are.
This defense for Cincinnati, I know they've been applauded for being better, but I don't expect to see a lot from the defense. This got to be a two award game for a player offensively. Give me both backs. Give me Najee and give me Jalen. Those two guys got to ball out, because Najee had a really good game first meeting against Cincinnati. They're vulnerable in the running side of things, so they got to take off. You know, defensively, this got to be an Alex Highsmith-type game. And the reason why I'm saying that is because our edge rushers have always had success against Cincinnati, even going back to my playing days. It's something about our edge rushers. When they see Cincinnati, they see sacks. And TJ, clearly he's not 100%. And I think in terms of the extra attention he's going to receive, regardless with him not being 100%, it paves the window of opportunity for Highsmith.
Who wins?
I'm taking Pittsburgh. The reason why I'm taking Pittsburgh, now listen to me, listeners. Listen to me. I understand we've been bad, right? I understand that. But sometimes you got to be bad to be good again, honestly. Because now you got to go back and look in the mirror. And the one thing about a true competitor, the only way you can become better is to admit that you were bad. And I think those guys in the locker room are starting to admit that and see that. So now everything is overly emphasized. And the thing that I love about what I'm seeing right now, and I use this as an example with Ohio State. I know you guys are college football fans, and I know a lot of our listeners are college football fans as well. Remember when Ohio State lost to Michigan and everyone was going, you know, burning up the house and burning down the house? It's time to get Ryan Day out of there. We're such a bad team.
Yes.
I literally went on air and I said, this will be a blessing in disguise. And everyone was like, BMAC, you're not making any sense. What do you mean? Losing to your rival with no quarterback, there's no blessing in that. I said, yes, it is. Because now it makes Ohio State go back to the drawing board. It makes them become hungry again. Because everyone is saying how disappointed they've been, how disappointed the head coach has been. What do you think Ryan Day did to his players after that happened? Right? So guess what we're seeing now? A different ball club. So in terms of what we've seen from Pittsburgh, because before they got in that losing streak, guess what we were doing? Patting them on the back. How great they are. How good they are. This is the year. And then you got kicked in the mouth for three games, and now everyone is turning your back against you. Pittsburgh plays better when the backs are being turned.
Sorry, BMAC, we got distracted because Mark Cabali just Kool-Aid manned his way into studio here. So,
BMAC, I'll leave you with this. There's a conspiracy theory out there, by the way, BMAC. I don't know if you've heard this, Pony, that Day basically threw the Michigan game to motivate his team.
I don't buy it. I don't believe
that. I'm not through the game, like, intentionally tried to lose, but basically was, like, not unhappy that they lost because he thought it would light a fire, to which I say that's insane because most Ohio State fans would probably rather beat Michigan than win the national title.
BMAC, thanks,
which,
man.
Which doesn't make any sense, and I agree with you, but that does not make any sense.
We'll talk again next week, previewing the playoff matchup. See ya.
See ya, BMAC.
Let's go.
There you go. Brian McFadden. And Brian McFadden said hello to Mark Cabali, who didn't have his headphones on, but did wear he's resplendent in this Pat McAfee for the brand hoodie.
I thought I was supposed to go get Mark, but he wasn't there when I went. So what was that all about?
I don't know. T-Bird.
Another guy living his best life, T-Bird.
Here is Seth in Long Island on the fan. Hello, Seth.
Hey, gents. How you guys doing today?
We're
happy
good.
New Year, man.
You too.
What's up, man?
Hey, good. Hey, what's up, man? So, long story short, Tomlin F for the season.
Come on, Seth. Absolutely. You know I'm not his biggest fan, but you're going to give the guy an F? They're already in the playoffs. Yes,
I understand. But listen, let me get the word in here. I'm going to give him an F because if he's the de facto defensive coach and Harold Austin is just a figurehead, right? They shouldn't have lost to the Colts. The game you gave him a pass on, Pony, for Cleveland, bringing in Fields on a 3rd and 4 and then, you know, throwing a home run ball.
Yep.
You know, listen, I would bring him in, but get the first down. Run for it. Don't throw a home run ball. And, of course, the worst game, the worst one, Mulsey said it yesterday about the defense. Defense just absolutely is horrific, man. So
Seth, do any of the wins count in the good column for him?
They beat Baltimore. They went to Cincinnati and won. They beat the Chargers early in the season.
Okay,
Broncos.
So
thank you, Mark.
No, it's a yes or no question. Like, do you feel like any of the wins they got reflect well on him? Does he get any credit for any of the big wins they've had?
All close wins, Giants.
Who cares that they're close wins?
Chargers game was not close.
Yeah, that was a 2-score game. The Giants game wasn't really that close.
Herbert got knocked out.
They beat the Jets by 22.
Yes, but they knocked Herbert out of the game. He didn't limp off because he twisted his knee on the turf. They beat him up.
He was already hurt going in. But listen, let me get this point in, please. The only reason I'm giving him an F is because the reality is if you're the defensive guy and you're you're the de facto guy, then let's get this thing showing up where it's the defense that
– So he could still turn this around if their defense suddenly snaps back too and they win a playoff game, you're changing your grade.
I'm thinking that if they win tomorrow is a must win.
Okay, if they win tomorrow
– If they win tomorrow, it's a must win. And I think, of course, then they wind up going to the Texans. They've got to lambaste the Texans. And, and offensively, you've got to get a much more imaginative, creative OC. Arthur Smith has to go.
Arthur Smith fired. Tomlin has an F right now, even though they're
10-6. What would the grade be if they win tomorrow, then win the playoff game? Is he all the way up to like a D+? I'll tell you what, Long Island, Staten Island, Tomlin not popular on islands here. If we got a call from Neville Island, I would be very worried.
Here is Bob next. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I think I'm reconsidering my grade because I think what he just said is 100% right. He gets a. I give him a D+.
B+ or D+?
D+. D+.
I give him a D+ because he has had a couple of good wins. But
God, you sound like you're saying that through absolutely gritted teeth, man.
I am. They did beat Baltimore. I don't think the Charger win was that great. But,
I got to be honest with you. I get frustrated, Bob, much more than I used to because I don't see much change from Mike from like some of the things that I would like to see changed. But I'd like to think that I try to give the guy a fair shake no matter what. You kind of sound like the type of guy. Well, you don't sound like a guy that really wants to give him a fair shake.
Bob, give it.
But you sound like a guy who starts from the default of, I really wish somebody else was their coach, and that never really changes.
100%, Garrett. I've seen this same story for 13 years. This defense is horrible. In the regular season, they're horrible. Wait till you get to the playoffs where they're really bad.
Yes, but we've been talking about regular season grades so far. Yeah, the playoff defensive performance have been terrible. People are talking about this defense like it's ass. It's still top 10 in scoring. I mean, it's been brutal the last 3 weeks, but we're not talking about a team that's at the bottom of the league in every quarter category. You'd think we were talking about the Bengals defense right now. the way people are making
it
sound.
I do think he kind of gave the game away there. There are people for whom their anti-Mike status started right around the time Tim Tebow was hitting Demaryius Thomas, even though that was the Dick LeBeau defense swan song.
351 brought to you by the Buell Insurance Agency. I actually already did that read. Mark Cabali in studio will get his take on Mike Tomlin. He'll give his Tomlin grade on the season, plus a report about one of Tomlin's assistants and his future with the team coming up.